Here we are. You're a few days into something you've never experienced. You're going to have almost a month-long training camp. There's no preseason games at all. What's the plan, and how much of a challenge is this going to be to kind of pick those final spots on your roster when there's no preseason games?
Yeah, Jason, good to talk to you again. Nice to be talking football again in general. It's going to be challenging in the sense that nothing can replicate games. So some of these players that have never played in a CFL game before, the younger guys, the rookies, getting the flow of the game and transition, the 20-second play clock, the number of punts that happen compared to the game down south, if they're coming from an NCAA or NFL, it's just really hard to replicate that, even though we'll do our best with inter-squad scrimmages. So that'll be the biggest thing is them acclimating and get a real feel for what a CFL game is. As far as evaluations, you also want to see them with the live bullets flying. That being said, we can get evaluations done with competitive team periods. Receivers, DBs can do one-on-ones. You get one-on-one pass rushes, some inside runs. So we can ramp it up and do a little bit of competitive team periods. But again, it's not going to compare to what an actual preseason game would be.
What's your level of concern due to the, you know, Dennis stepping away and then the injury to Colin Kelly? We don't know the importance of the O-line. What's the concern level?
You know, really not a ton. We have a lot of confidence in the guys that are here. You know, right now we have Justin Renfro. We have Thaddeus Coleman coming in. But Kyle Sachs has been playing right tackle as of late. He's been doing a great job. We have Steven Nielsen. We have DeAndre Wesley, Deontay Demery. So there's some young guys that aren't household names that we have a lot of confidence in. Along with other veterans that can do it. So obviously nice to have everyone in camp that you thought was going to be here. It's a different world we live in, and, you know, Colin being injured is one thing. The other guy stepping away is something that's happening across the league. So
yeah,
you roll with the punches a little bit, and it's COVID-era football this year, and, you know, we're not going to flinch. We're going to move forward, and we trust the guys that we have in the building.
Brock Sutherland joined us. So as you're evaluating, do you, because the players have been off for so long, Brock, is, I don't know if it's free pass is the proper term, but is there, like, you know, we got to give these guys 2 weeks, and then maybe after 2 weeks, that's when the, because there's no rush, is that when the real evaluation kicks in? How does that process change where usually, you know, guys got to show up and grab your attention right away in camp?
Well, cuts are coming up in 5 days, the first round of cuts. So, unfortunately, we don't have that luxury. I should say maybe, unfortunately for them, they don't all have that luxury. So it's pretty fast and furious. I will say that we ramped them up. They were here for a little bit of a quarantine period. They were allowed to come for 3 days of individual workouts if they chose to. Most of our guys did. So there was a ramp-up process. We didn't want to just come out here after all this time off for a lot of these players and say, hey, let's go full speed ahead and not gear you into it a little bit. So even our first day of full practice, I think Coach Elizondo had a really smart approach, which was more of a walkthrough type tempo as opposed to a full practice. So we're trying to go a little bit slower than usual to offset some of the time off. And then from the evaluation process, as soon as we're practicing and the film is on, we're evaluating from day one.
When are you expecting Darrell Walker to be on the field?
We are expecting him to be around the 19th and in that time frame, sometime around there. So it's a week quarantine process, and the day after that is when you're allowed to officially be on the field.
Okay. Now, looking at your secondary, there's lots of new faces in the secondary, heightened competition. The evaluation process, like, is there any position, Brock, that's harder to evaluate when you don't get any live bullets, as you call it?
Yeah, I would say the ones with the most contact and you know, O-line, D-line, you can get that through some team reps. The linebacker position, you can see movement, you can see athleticism, certainly in pass reps, zone reads, so on and so forth. But you really want to see someone come downhill, strike, wrap up, and tackle, and we just won't have that until we get to the inter-squad scrimmages.
Okay.
So that's a bit of a challenge. But, you know, again, all these players, we had a pretty good feel coming into training camp, or else they wouldn't be here. So we have a fairly good feel, and now it's just these guys against each other. So we'll have a good feel for these guys with what we're allowed to do. That's for sure.
Players adjusting to the size and the timing of the CFL game, and a lot of times those preseason games, they're, oh my goodness, like, you got to be alert on the sidelines when it's special teams and kind of the chaos that happens. You know, you only got 20 seconds, get out there. How can you? how can you reenact that in practice? And or is that just something you expect, you know, there might be the odd hiccup when the regular season starts just because of you didn't really get to do that in a real game?
Well, we're going to do game-type scenarios with coaches on the headsets and transitions from unique situations where an abrupt turnover, now we have to go to a punt, or, hey, offense, you thought you were out for the series and we just had an interception, so you're on the field quickly. We're going to try to replicate as much as we can a game. But, again, I'd be lying to you if I said that we can do it identically to what it is. The, you know, not having the fans and the emotion, it's not on TV. Everybody knows that when the lights are on and it's an actual game, the intensity rises a little bit. The pressure's up a little bit more. So we're not going to be able to match that identically, but we're going to do as much as we can to make it a game-type scenario as we can, and these guys are certainly going to get a feel for what the CFL game is.
Do you have a feel, like you mentioned you kind of have a feel for the players, do you have a sense of where your team's at in comparison to the other teams because there's been so much time off for everyone?
No, we don't, and really that's not our concern right now. Our concern is making sure that we're ready to the best of our ability. Let's evaluate our team right now. We have a lot of players in camp. Let's pick the best one for our team for August 7th and that game week August 7th. And once we get there, then we'll start scheming up Ottawa and worrying about potentially what Ottawa's going to do on both sides of the ball. But for now, our focus is entirely on ourselves, and we always feel we're at our best, and that's where our focus is.
In this situation, Brock, no one's ever been in this when there's, you know, almost there was a complete season loss. So how does your expectations, if any, differ to this shortened season than in a normal year?
As far as what we want to accomplish on the field, there is no change. Everybody, you know, some teams don't talk about it. Some teams come out with bold statements. We're not going to do either of that. Our goal is to win a championship. We're never going to shy away from that. That's what we're trying to do, just like the other eight organizations. So that doesn't change in what we ultimately want to accomplish. The big change is going to be all the COVID protocols, the world we live in right now where you travel a little bit differently. And all the things we go through, you know, I just walked up and got on this call from a rapid antigen test. So those are the things that are going to be very different, and we just have to navigate that like every other organization. So that's going to be the big change this year. But when we get on the field and we're playing football, the goals don't change, and our approach with that regard doesn't change.
And, Brock, it's kind of unique in a season, and I get it's shortened season in your division, but you're playing BC twice, but both games are in BC. How come?
You need to ask the person that scheduled it. That's I can't answer that.
Okay. Were you surprised by that?
No, because, again, it's a shortened season, and with how the league was modeling things this year, we knew there was going to be some tweaks and some less travel out east. We're not playing every team twice, so we knew there was going to be some different scheduling things this year as opposed to other years on a truncated season. So, again, as I had hit on earlier, we're always going to focus on what we can control, and that's out of our control. So whatever the schedule is, we'll show up, we'll play, whether it's here or on the road, and we're going to do our best to win wherever it is or whatever the circumstances are.
And for Elks fans, who are some new names in the secondary they should be paying attention to and following here over the next few weeks before they get to August 7th?
Well, we like them all, but, I mean, obviously the new guys that people know are Jonathan Rose, Aaron Grimes is back, Jonathan Mincy, Tremaine Washington is a veteran in this league. We've had Robert Priester here before. He's back from a little bit of time in the XFL. Some other young guys that we like and we'll find out is Nafis Line, Albert Smalls, that's just a couple, Karan Williams, T.J. Mutcherson, Alpha Lobby Laguda, say that five times as fast as you can. He's a rookie that we like. All these guys, again, I'm going to sound repetitive, but it is the truth, is if they're here with us right now, they did something that made us excited to have them here in camp. And once they get here, you know, the chips are going to fall where they may with what they do on the field. And then obviously the name that everybody recognizes due to his father is Caleb Ham. So those are some names that are here competing for spots right now in the defensive secondary.
Can he throw like his dad?
That's a good question. We'll find out. I doubt it, or else he'd probably be playing quarterback, Hall of Famer.
Yeah, well, I guess, hey, maybe he was always catching balls from dad. So that's maybe
was
a receiver.
Or trying to tackle him, one or the other, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was easier said than done, for
no
sure,
doubt.
In his heyday. Brock, appreciate your time. Continued success during what is definitely a unique season in the CFL, but I know I speak on behalf of all CFL fans. They're happy the league's back.
Yep, as am I. Appreciate you having me. And again, just happy to be talking about football again.